Well, hello and welcome to our latest midweek podcast. A very simple thought for us today, quite possibly one I've shared at the prayer meeting in the not too distant past. I can't quite remember, but it is one of my favourite encouragements to prayer, so sorry if it does seem at all familiar. We're back in Mark's account of Jesus' life, and in Mark chapter 1 this time, we're going to look at verses 32 to 34, although I will read from verse 29 just to slightly set the scene. So Mark chapter 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. There's this burst of activity Mark tells us about at the start of Jesus' public ministry after he launches onto the scene, verse 14, verse 15, with his proclamation that the kingdom of God is near. In the original Greek, the word immediately keeps cropping up. Jesus did this, then immediately this happened, then immediately this happened. It's such a fast-paced account of what was going on. Our English versions often pull that word immediately out to make it look repetitive. We lose something when they do that, if I'm honest. And along the way, in this fast-paced account of so much happening, we keep getting these lovely glimpses of the Lord Jesus, including the one that we get here in verses 32 to 34. He's caused quite a stir in the synagogue, we read in the previous section, through his teaching and then through casting out a demon, an evil spirit that was possessing somebody. After the synagogue service, he's headed back to Simon Peter's house for coffee, proper physical coffee for Jesus and Simon Peter in those days, no Zoom coffees for them. And while he's there, he's healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, we just read. And word gets round. So what happens? Well, can you picture the scene as that evening, perhaps? I don't know, was it Peter, Simon Peter, or Jesus who opened the front door and looked out on that scene that is described for us there in verses 32 to 34? Imagine the scene that greeted Dominic Cummings when he opened his front door last week, a street full of hostile journalists and protesters. Well, it's a little bit like that here, just even more so. We're told, verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door. Now, that we mustn't get beyond ourselves in imagining that. Capernaum, people reckon, was 1,500 inhabitants, perhaps back in Jesus' day, kind of a solid size for a village these days. But there they all are in the street outside the door. Not hostile, though, but very needy. Do you notice? So much need represented as Jesus looks out onto the street that night. So many who are sick and so many who are demon possessed, sick with every kind of illness. And then alongside them, so many distressing examples of people whose lives have been just wrecked by evil powers possessing them. Needy people, very needy people in their tens, maybe their hundreds outside that door. So many desperately sad situations, sad stories represented there. So much need crowding at the door as they looked in such desperate hope that Jesus, who'd healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law and cast out the demon in the synagogue, might possibly be able to do something for them. So much need Jesus looks out on. What does he do? Tell them to get lost? Why are you bothering me? I've got other things to do. No. Slam the door in a panic, like that Hugh Grant scene in Notting Hill, I think it is, when he opens the door and the journalists are outside the door. No. Does Jesus get flustered? Bothered by how much is being expected of him? No. Does he call the council, ask them to come and sort things out? No. Verse 34, see what he does. He healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons. He cares so much for those needy people, and he copes with all their needs. Such power he demonstrates, such grace to handle such need that gets brought to him. So many, many needs. Do you get the message? One of the things this is saying to us. Where should we go in our needs? Straight to Jesus. He's the person who cares and who can cope. Think of so many needs that we're aware of, perhaps at the moment. This coronavirus time is, I guess, a time when we're more aware of our neediness than we usually are, perhaps. Needs for health, for continuing good health, or for recovery from sickness. Needs for energy as we care for others, perhaps young children, perhaps frailer, more vulnerable relatives. Needs for wisdom as we face so many complex decisions at the moment about, especially maybe at the moment, about returning back to school or work, or one day, hopefully before too long, back to church. Needs for patience with others. I've been very aware of that in the last couple of days. Some of us, needs for jobs, for income, as jobs have gone. Or perhaps we look ahead to how the economy is likely to go and we worry that we will find ourselves in need of jobs and income in the future. Needs for deliverance from evil. I don't think anyone trusting Jesus can be demon-possessed today in the way that is described in this passage here. But even so, sin is a powerful thing, isn't it? And even if in Jesus we're set free from its power, it can still seem to have such a grip on our lives. We struggle with sins, we try so hard to beat them, and we find that we just can't. We need his help with that. The need some of us have for strength and comfort in the face of the loss of people we've loved very much who've gone. So much need. Imagine we try to do a assessment of all the needs at Barkham Church at the moment. What are we, 150 to 200 people, morning and evening, adults and children? How many needs represented amongst us? Hundreds, if not thousands. Well, like the crowd at the door, can you imagine us gathered round Jesus, looking to him in desperation? Well, that's the place to be, this says. Because he's the one who cares and who so wonderfully can cope. Keep looking to him in our need. Let's do that now as we pray. I'll lead us in one prayer, and then I'll lead us in saying the Lord's Prayer together afterwards. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, again for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for this wonderful glimpse that we're given of him here, surrounded by so much desperate need. Jesus, the focus of so many desperate hopes for help. Thank you that as we look, we see him caring so much and so utterly able to cope. We thank you for the immeasurable reserves of grace that we find in him. And so we pray that even today you would help us to keep looking to him in our needs, that you would help us to fix our hopes on him. We pray especially for those in our church family and others we know who are finding it hard to cope at the moment, feeling weary perhaps in the face of so much to do, feeling anxiety in the face of this ongoing pandemic. Feeling the stress of so many difficult decisions. We pray that you would provide for them. We pray for those who are worrying about and maybe looking for work right now, and ask that you would provide for them just the right jobs at just the right time. We pray for those feeling deep concern about others they're caring for. We pray that you would provide just what they and those they care for need. And we pray for those who are grieving loved ones at the moment. And we ask especially for Mark and Rachel Stevens and their family as they grieve the sudden loss of Mark's dad. We pray that they would know your comfort and your care, including through others in the church family. We pray for those really feeling the power of sin at the moment, that they, that we would know you setting us free from that in the Lord Jesus, what you've done to make that possible. In all our needs, we pray that you would bring glory to yourself by helping as you know we need. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let's say the Lord's Prayer together too. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Do have a good rest of the week.